Let me look around. What's wrong? You know, it's like most of them just stunned. It's like at this point I'm seeing so much truth in my life that my ego is immobilized. It's frozen. It's freaked out. So that's what's happening. So I'm just going to give myself more truth. And let's use this as a meditation to get focused in and just ask yourself, why did you come? What was your purpose in coming tonight? That'll determine how valuable it is to you. I came here tonight because I want to remember. Remember how much I'm loved, that I'm not alone, that I'm more than a body, that I have a spiritual identity. I want to remember that I'm not a victim of the world I see, and that love is my natural state. I want to hear something besides the stuff that the world says. I read that paragraph. It says, God's teachers don't judge, which in God is love, and teachers are demonstrator. So a love demonstrator does not judge. To judge is to be dishonest, because to judge is to assume a position you do not have. Judgment without self-deception is impossible. Judgment implies that you have been deceived in your brothers. How then can you have not been deceived in yourself? Judgment implies a lack of trust. And trust remains the bedrock on which the teachers of God's whole thought system. Let trust be lost in all your learning goals. Without judgment are all things equally acceptable, for who could judge otherwise? Without judgment are all men brothers, for who is there who stands apart? Judgment destroys honesty and shatters trust. No teacher of God can judge and hope to learn. Well, that pretty much explains why we're in the shape we're in, don't we? It's a whole, you know, because we just said, you know, if you're constantly judging, then you're not being honest, because the truth is, we don't know enough about each other to really judge each other. I really haven't walked a mile in your shoes. You haven't walked a mile in mine. I don't know everything about your past. I don't know everything about your present. And I certainly don't know everything about your future. So if I'm judging you, I'm being dishonest. And so the first thing I need to understand is that as soon as I judge you, I'm not trusting, and trust remains the bedrock of my whole thought system. So we're going into a thought system from a thought system of doubt to a thought system of trust. And that's why it's kind of scary, because trust is a biggie. How are you all doing on the trust end of things? Okay. I'm going to gentleness now. I don't even want to talk about tolerance too much. I'm just going to go on past that. I don't even feel like talking about it. Okay. Gentleness. Harm is impossible for a teacher of love. When I say God's teacher, the Course says God is love, and a teacher is a demonstrator. I love to remind myself of that a teacher is a demonstrator. A true teacher is a demonstrator. Whatever I'm demonstrating right now is what I'm teaching right now. Whatever I'm demonstrating in this moment is what I'm teaching in this moment. So the Course says, if you're really demonstrating real love, it's impossible to experience harm. That's a very powerful statement. That if I'm truly demonstrating love, I can't be harmed. One thing that the Course always makes me aware of when I study it is that either it's wrong or I am. And either what I think is love is not, must not be love. Because I know a lot of people who think they get love, but they also think they experience harm. And then he just said, well, if it's the real deal, you can't be harmed. Because I used to think being loving was being nice. And evidently love must be something else, must be something completely different from what we think it is. Because this book just told me, if I truly let love come through me, if I truly let go of the blocks to what love really is, it would be impossible for me to be harmed. Because if I had a truly loving vibration, no harm could come to me. I couldn't attract it. So far, I must not be really letting the real deal come through consistently. So rather than argue with that, it's like, okay, then how do I get rid of the blocks that allow the love to come through so I can know that safety that it's talking about? He said, because if you are really demonstrating love, you cannot harm and you cannot be harmed. You cannot hurt and you cannot be hurt. And that the harm is coming from judgment. That's deep. Because it's a dishonest act. Judgment is a dishonest act that follows a dishonest thought. So it's the verdict of guilt upon another person and therefore upon oneself. Judgment is the end of your peace and the denial of learning. Judgment and harm demonstrates the absence of God's curriculum and its replacement by insanity. So that just said that if we are perceiving harm, we are also perceiving insanity. So the harm that we're seeing and the hurt that we're seeing is coming from insanity, insane thoughts. This is the planet where the insane souls come. Okay? To learn how to be sane and loving again. This is the planet where the souls who are trying to learn what love really is, they come here. And that's why we don't see anybody else when we look at with the Hubble telescope. No matter how many light years they look, they don't see any signs of intelligent life. There's some reason they've gotten away from us. Think about it. I mean, they got this telescope that can look billions and billions. They don't see no sign of intelligence. We're here on this little planet, all from everybody else. I mean, we think we special. And we are. We're the special one. We're the special ones. That's the people on Earth. We're the special ones. You know, they okay. So that's not an insult. It's just letting us know where we stand. And so, because let's face it, we're in a world that it looks like a lot of insane stuff is going on unless you're just totally in denial. And that's okay. Sometimes that's the only way some people can feel peace. I'm serious. The way most people experience peace is they become in denial about the realities of the experience that they're living in. Yeah. And they make up a picture in their mind that doesn't correspond with the experience that they're actually having. You know what I'm saying? So the Course is saying, well, the harm that you see is coming from us not really knowing how to demonstrate truth, not knowing how to really demonstrate love, and that we judge each other. And that we're not consistent and honest as we should be, and we haven't developed trust yet in God truly or in each other truly. And we try to seek out a few special relationships that we hope we can get some little bit of this, just a little taste of some kind of caring about us. And then we defend that against all others, even to the point of shooting them if they get too close to the person that we try to be special with. Okay? So the Course is saying this is not normal. Okay? This is not sane. This is not sanity. But it didn't say we were sinful. And it didn't say we were guilty. It also did not say we were bad. It just said we were crazy as hell. Okay, I feel, man. I started reading this book, I have to laugh. Because it is funny. It is so funny. Then it goes on and says, no teacher of God but must learn, and fairly early in his training, that harmfulness completely obliterates his function from his awareness. That's hilarious. I'm here to demonstrate love. Well, if you are, and that's your function, then hurting folk and harming yourself is obliterating your function. If you're here to be a demonstrator of peace and joy on the planet, and you're the most miserable person in town, you have obliterated your function. So you can just go home and say, today with my boss, I obliterated my function. I obliterated my function with my mate last night. And if you keep it up, I'm obliterating him. But I'm starting with the function right now. What does that mean? My function is to be joyful. My function is to bring peace. My function is to know love. My function is, I'm not experiencing any of those things with any consistency, which means my function must be obliterated in my mind. Wow. Now, He says, how do you know when you've obliterated your function? Well, if you're a function obliterator, you feel confused right now, you feel afraid right now, you feel angry about something right now, and you're listening to me with a great deal of suspicion. So you're suspicious, angry, confused, and afraid. That is where you're obliterating your function. Wherever in your life that you feel afraid, wherever in your life that you feel angry and suspicious is your obliterated function area. Do you have one?
Yep.
Does everybody have the obliterated function area?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that means that that is the area where you're insane. And that's where you're judging, and that's where you think you can be hurt, and that's where you think you can hurt, and that's where some serious judgment is coming down. It's the area of your life right now that you feel confused, fearful, angry, and suspicious. That is the insane area. And let's just take a minute to send out some peace to those parts of ourselves that's experiencing the flood. I bet you they're not worried about a lot of the stuff that I'm worried about. You know what I'm saying? It's like all of a sudden your priority gets different. And they learn the incredible lesson of the temporary nature of material physical things. And that the universe doesn't care about them. The physical material things. And I bet you, if there's a choice between their loved one and a piece of furniture, I bet it was their loved one that they were focused on. So it's the relationships that we have that are valuable, not the toys. Not the toys. Not the toys. It's okay to have the toys. You're innocent with the toys. I got a few toys that work. But the toys are not what's important. What's important is demonstrating love and union and relationship together, because every time we're together, we get another opportunity to change our mind and therefore change our physical reality. That's the beauty of the meeting. It's for us to remember together that we are more than what we've been taught, and that we're innocent, and that we're loved, and that we're not victims, and that we are powerful, unlimited beings. That's what Earth School is for. And it's not the first time you've been to Earth School, but it's not important that you realize that either in order to grow. You don't have to believe in reincarnation in order to benefit from the truth. As a matter of fact, it's probably a good thing if it's true that you don't remember the other stuff you've done too. Thank God I don't remember my past life. Thank God I remember yesterday. Oh, what I thought was memory loss is just me being in the now. You know what I mean? Yeah. You get to the point that your present becomes so fulfilling that you don't have time to think about the past and the future, because right now is so cool. It's so full. You don't have to think about the past. So that's how you let go of grievances. You let go of grievances because you're too happy to hold them. Okay. And I want to remind you too. I'm just reminding you. That's all I'm doing. The innocent, and me too. Mostly me, because I come the most. And I take it slow because the Course says, do me slowly. So like one of my lovers. Okay, now, if you have an obliterated function, then it makes the lessons of the Holy Spirit impossible for you to learn. It's hard to learn a lesson about forgiveness and safety if I'm the most afraid, angry person around. So it makes sense that a person that's deepest in grievances and upset is also the person that is the hardest for them to hear a lesson that has to do with love and joy and forgiveness. So he says, and when you're confused and fearful and suspicious, you cannot hear God's teacher. You cannot hear your inner guidance clearly when you are fearful, confused, and suspicious. And so you will never hear God's voice until you realize that hurting yourself doesn't mean anything and is not helpful to you. Harm, as long as I think that harming myself or others is somehow a cool thing to do, I will not hear God's voice. I will not hear the voice of the Lord. Does that make sense to everybody? As long as I'm trying to attack, how could I possibly be hearing the voice for peace? But you can't do both of them. I can't really hear the voice for peace. I want to kill you. It's, I don't know why. It's just weird somebody to tell me that. But this book does. What it brings up for me sometimes is all the justifications for attack. Because we all would be nice people all the time if other folks act right, wouldn't we? That's the only problem. If everybody acted right, we'd be nice all the time. We'd be loving all the time. It's the problem is you all, right? And the problem is me. And the problem is them. So they just act right. I love them up. That's one or two people. If they would just change their ways, my life would be so good. How many of you are waiting for the one? Is there anybody here looking for the one? You know the one. The one that's going to show up, and when they show up, everything is going to be all right. The one. Be the one. Be the one. If you want the one, be the one. Be the one. So what does that mean? Well, it means that if I'm going to have a relationship, I need to have some trust developed. I need to be honest, which means I need to be consistent. I need to have some tolerance. I need to be gentle. And that means that I should not have the purpose of attacking the person that I love. And then it says, no gain can come of harm. No gain can come of it. So the course just answered the question as to why it is that we can't hear the voice of God. Because as long as I'm confused, angry, and afraid, and suspicious, don't love myself, upset with everybody around me, believing in harm, I can't hear the voice for God. It's there, but I can't hear it. I'll even say it, it's not even there. So this is answer the question that I've asked. Well, if there is a such thing as God, why don't I hear God? If there is such thing as a higher spirit, why don't I hear that voice? Does everybody know now why? Because of the way I think. That's why. You know, if I want to harm you, I'm not going to hear the voice. If I'm judging you, I'm not going to hear the voice. If I'm suspicious, I'm not going to hear the voice. If I'm dishonest, I'm not going to hear the voice. So I'm not guilty. I just have some fear. I'm not sinful. I just have some fear. And that fear is what's creating the physical problem that I think I see in my life. It's a physical manifestation of my fear. Your problem is a physical manifestation of your fear. I know I could just say all cool stuff, but I think that what I like about the course is that the course does address my day-to-day issues and day-to-day. I don't feel good all the time. I'm not happy all the time. I don't want to pretend like I'm happy all the time. So what I need is a teaching that tells me how to deal with my fear, my confusion, my anger, and my suspicion, and not pretend like they don't exist. Then I need something to tell me, well, why is it I don't hear my guidance? Well, the reason why you don't hear your guidance is because you're fearful, suspicious, and angry. Because you've been judging, Earl, and you haven't learned how to trust yet, and you haven't learned how to be completely loving all the time. So take it easy. It's okay that you don't get the results right now of a state of consciousness you don't live on. So don't beat yourself up about that. So when you feel fearful, confused, or anxious, or angry, to the higher power, according to course, this is your prayer to receive the answer and the way out. So your very so-called fearful feelings and emotions are seen as a prayer to God. Is that cool? All right. Okay, so and then that prayer is answered by telling you why you're fearful, angry, suspicious, and afraid. Okay. So I'm going to tell you why you're going through this, Earl. You're going through this because you have some thoughts of harm and being harmed. That's what makes you unaware of your guidance. Because your guidance is telling you the answer to every single thing that you're thinking about or concerned about or unhappy or happy about. Everybody in here, you all have an inner guide, and your inner guide from the day that you landed on the planet has been talking to you. Your own higher self is always talking to you. You don't hear it because of what you learn from the world, which is primarily that you're separate and alone, and there's no such thing as really a spiritual self that you can call on. You got to make it on your own. You got to make up the answers, and you got to do it all by yourself. And the Course is saying, that is not God's will. So I'm taking a stand that my Creator doesn't want me to suffer and be afraid. Okay. Then it says, therefore, if you really want to be a demonstrator of love, you have to be completely gentle. Because it's when you are gentle that you are really strong. And it is in gentleness that your function of healing becomes easy. Salvation is easy. It's your healing. So if I'm gentle, my function becomes easy. You know what's so weird about this? Is that sometimes it's difficult for people to stay conscious when they're hearing loving thoughts. Because we've learned to struggle so much. And we've learned to make up our own answers so much. That when we hear something loving, the part of us that's accustomed to struggling fear, it immobilizes it, and it's hard for it to stay conscious because none of the answers are the answers that it has made up. See, none of the real answers are answers that the fearful part of us has made up. So the part of us that goes through the fear and suspicion, when it actually hears an answer, it doesn't hear it because it doesn't think the answer is relevant. Like the average person can't see the connection between them not being able to freak out about $4 a gallon gas and they're holding a grievance. They don't see that connection. They don't know that the struggle in their life is really coming from their own consciousness level. And that if their consciousness level was a level of love and truth, they wouldn't have a problem with the $4 a gallon gas in their perception to begin with. See, that's deep, isn't it? Because they think the way to get what you do is you get the people that got the oil to come up with a cheaper price, and you come up with an alternative source of energy. That's what we got to figure out. Not the fact that I need to let go of that grievance I had against my dad since I was 5 years old. And that's what's making you broke. And that's what's attracting the relationships that don't work. And that's the lousy job. And that's the insanity that you're going through. It's really the result of your unforgiveness, Irma. So your ego tells you, go out and try to fix the external, and then that's going to solve the problem. And when you get conscious, you go, you know, I have some harmful, fearful, suspicious, angry thoughts that I need to learn how to let go of. And when I let go of those thoughts, the relationships will be perceived correctly, my financial situation will be perceived correctly, everything in my life will be perceived from a much more powerful, loving, incredible place as soon as I let go of my judgments. So then it goes on to say, to those who would do harm, it's impossible to hear God's voice. To those to whom harm has no meaning, it's merely natural. What choice but this has meaning to the same? In other words, who chooses hell when they perceive a way to heaven? In other words, who chooses fear when they see a way to love? And who would choose the weakness that must come from harm in place of the unfailing, all-encompassing, and limitless strength of gentleness? The might of a love demonstrator, I like that. The might of a love demonstrator lies in their gentleness, because a person who's a true teacher of truth, they have understood that their evil thoughts don't come from them or from their Creator. And thus did they join their thoughts with the Creator who is their source, and so their will, which has always been His will, is left to be itself. Now, of course, it'll do that. It'll give you the way out. And when I hear it, and when I first heard it, I would go, what the hell did it just say? And what it just said is, when you become gentle, you'll understand that your upsetting thoughts are not coming from you. Your upsetting thoughts are coming from what you are telling yourself. You'll understand that any of the so-called evil thoughts and feelings that are coming, not, you are loving. You are completely loving. You are completely innocent. You're completely pure. You have some learnings that make you feel otherwise. So when you wake up, you realize, I'm responding to what I'm telling myself. I'm always responding to what I'm telling myself. And that's not me. And I needed to be reminded of that. because I don't think that's true. I think I am what I think I am. And I think I am what I feel. So, before I go to the next part, did anybody have any thoughts about anything that you heard? I love questions. If you ask me a question, it's like creating this link to something greater than myself that starts a whole chain of thought. So I know the course can be disorienting sometimes and confusing, but that's the purpose of the Course in Miracles class, is so that we can get past those blocks. So are there any comments, any questions about anything you've heard me say so far?
I just want to learn to not react. Give myself time to figure out what that's holding me up. Because I'll just immediately react.
Right. That's why forgiveness is so important at the very beginning. Because at the very beginning, you are gonna react. You're gonna act according to your old programming. But if you beat yourself up about it, you're just making your ego stronger. And that's what the average person does. They when they first trying to change, of course the old programming is strong. So at first you might try to be forgiving and loving, and then you react to somebody before you know it. When you're waking up, you don't take it so seriously because you recognize that that's just your old self that you're allowing to fade away now. So the way to not react really quickly is to be okay about how you react. See, most people tell you they're upset about the way they act. Most people don't tell you that they feel peace about being crazy. You know what I'm saying? It's like the average person is going to say, I was real angry today and I had peace about that. They're going to say, I felt real angry today and I shouldn't have done that. So we're beating ourselves up about still expressing some old habit patterns that we are actually learning how to let go of, which doesn't really make any sense. So what I'm really saying to you all is, if you really want to get past your anger and suspicion and fear issues really quiet, really quickly, stop getting upset with yourself about getting upset. Mm-hmm. Stop getting upset with yourself about getting upset. I'm angry, but I'm not going to get angry at myself for being angry. I'm trying to learn how to let go of my anger, so naturally my anger is still going to come up sometime, because if it wasn't, I wouldn't be trying to let go of my anger. So step number one is I need to go, I'm going to now have a neutral attitude toward my anger, of my upset, or doing something stupid, or reacting the way that I say I don't want to react. That is the way I get past it, is to stop condemning myself for my errors, because that's just an error. So if I love you, I'm not going to condemn you for your mistake. I'm going to ask for the correction of your error and my error. If I love you, what we want is the correction. So when you do something, then what you're doing is making a mistake. A mistake is not a sin. A mistake is not a sin. A mistake is not a sin. Anybody else? Any thoughts? Any questions? This is a great opportunity to talk weird. Don't pass it up. You know, don't get around the people you can really express thoughts if you feel like you can't express around other people and not talk. It doesn't make any sense. It's insane. This is where you can talk your stuff. This is where you can be open and ask questions. And I know in saying that, that's going to make people even more quiet, but I'm saying anyway. Because I've done this 28 years, I know exactly what I should never say to a group. Okay, so I forgive myself for that. Don't y'all say a damn thing. Yes. Okay.
If you can know more, all right.
Okay. That's okay.
All right, if you're angry, you try not to get angry with yourself about getting angry.
Right.
But then there's all these consequences from the world about you getting angry. Like, I get angry, and it's not just... I'm not mad at myself about getting angry, but then there's like all the other people that piss at me about getting angry.
Right.
So how do I believe that all these other people are angry at me about getting angry? So I'm okay with me getting angry, but I'm not okay with their reaction to them.
Right, and so that's when you have to remember that you're giving their reaction all the meaning that it has for you, that you are the one that's making yourself feel the way that you are about their reaction. So try not to put a lot of emphasis on changing their reaction. You want to put the emphasis on you changing your interpretation of their reaction, which should be that that it's a call for love. It's a call. It's a call for love and call for help. But this is the thing that's really great to realize. As you accept the truth for yourself, the opposition from other people fades away. I promise you that. And the more you accept this for yourself, all those people who seem like they're giving you a hard time, they leave. There is no one on this earth giving me a hard time but me. Now, that's how advanced I am. All right? You know, I'm serious. And I'm about out there as you get. So if anybody was going to attract opposition, I'm publicly teaching there is no hell, that we are more than what we think. You know what I'm saying? Why don't I have 100 people who think another way protesting? How come I don't get... How many of you all have been here for a long time? Some of you have been here for a while, and you can count the number of times that anybody's ever come to my class that's gotten really rowdy with me about anything that I say. How many times is that? Okay, it wasn't like that when I first started teaching. When I first started teaching, because I was not clear and I was doubting myself as well as trying to learn something new, then I had a combination of people who reflected my own doubts and fears back at me as well as people who accepted what I was saying. I was meeting my own, so I'd get the born again Christian who would say, how can you say this? This other, you know, this stuff not in the Bible, this is a cult. Okay, that was me being born and brought up Southern Baptist. Those were my own subconscious beliefs because I hadn't completely accepted the new thought system yet, right? So therefore, I would attract people to me who reflected my own subconscious beliefs to me that I had not reconciled yet. So when you start something new, no matter what it is, you will meet your own doubts at the beginning in the form of what appears to be people giving you a hard time. That's why at the very beginning, I always encourage people to just be quiet. Don't freaking go talk to your friends who you know are going to think you're crazy because they're your friends. You know who's going to think you're crazy. That's why they're your friends. You know them. You know you got an aunt or an uncle or mother or father that's going to freak out. There's no need to try to tell them your new beliefs that you don't believe yet either so that they can witness back to you your own opposition. Because I promise you, as you accept that your anger is a call for love and that you deserve peace and you're not going to get upset with yourself about getting upset, you know why you shouldn't? Because you made the decision to do it differently. See, the minute you make the decision to do it differently, then it should put you in a position that you're more tolerant with your weakness. The Course says that you must be tolerant of your weakness instead of intolerant. Because when you're intolerant of your weakness, you make it an obstacle to your peace. If you make it okay for you to have the weakness, it's no longer an obstacle. And since it's weakness, it has no power. Okay. You hear that? If it's weakness, it has no power. That's why it's called weakness. Okay? So stop figuring out about your weaknesses. Yeah. Your weaknesses have no power. That's why they are weaknesses. So I want to be strong. I recognize I have some weakness, but I'm moving towards strength. Then I've got to be tolerant of my weakness because it's a reflection of the condition that I'm moving away from. Yeah. Or I wouldn't be studying the friggin' book. So you do not get to peace by feeling peaceful all the time. In the beginning. Okay? If we hear we're supposed to be peaceful all the time and you walk out of here and now you beat yourself up every time you get upset about something because you think your ego is in control of your spiritual path. If your ego is not in control when you walk out of here and you get upset because you went to the restaurant and they brought you the wrong meal, then you get upset about it, you just forgive yourself because you know it's just a reflection of an old way of being that you're now moving away from. And so since you know you want to move in a new direction, you don't have to condemn yourself for your old habits.
Word.
you hear me, my saviors? Okay, you are my saviors. Because a savior is someone who remembers who you are even when you forget. That's a savior. You gone crazy, I still remember you cute. And you're loving. And you, I go crazy, afraid, with anger. You remember I deserve to be healed when I forget. That's what a savior does. They just don't forget that you deserve love even when you do. Yes, get your hand up. Somebody over here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
say, well, I'm perfect. I got that, and I got all that stuff they took. I'm perfect. But I noticed that other people aren't. Now, when they start talking about their grievances, I have this tendency to want to help. And then I usually stick my foot in the mouth, and I usually end up regretting saying whatever, but everyone is so comfortable not saying anything. So that's, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's when you take a moment and you stop and you ask the Holy Spirit, what should I say? What should I do? And another way to get rid of that feeling is to realize that there's nobody out there for you to help.
Why do I keep hearing it?
Yeah, the reason why you keep hearing it is because they're reflecting back to you thoughts within yourself that you are out of touch with and that you're telling yourself you don't have. Or you wouldn't be available, or you wouldn't be here.
I hear you.
Now, here's the part that it's okay to recognize that what you may be seeing in that person represents something that's in yourself, in your own mind. But if you want to have the higher power, I assume that people are here at some level because they like to tap into a higher power. That's why I'm here. Anybody else? Okay. This is not another class on how you can do stuff on your own. Okay, this is not another class that's about empowering your ego. This is not another class about how you can learn how to think it so good you make it right on your own. This is not a class for the souls who want to do it alone. This is a class for the people who want union and relationship and connection to source and each other so that things can really happen easy. Okay, I agree. Anybody else? That's your goal?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so if you want to believe you can give your problems over to the Holy Spirit, if you want to believe you can give your problems over to a higher power, the way that you get to that state of consciousness the quickest is to practice giving other people's problems over to the Holy Spirit. Which is extremely difficult for a caretaker. Which is extremely difficult for somebody who gets their sense of self-esteem from fixing everybody around them and therefore taking their attention off of what needs to be corrected in themselves. That's what most caretakers do. It's just a way of keeping from getting in touch with your own true feelings and emotions. So you're so busy fixing everybody else. And that's the people who like to sacrifice. Y'all know those people? They're always sacrificing and they're resentment. You know, they're sacrificing because they think love is sacrifice, and that the way you show people that you love them is to sacrifice everything that causes you happiness. Which if you hear me say that, you'll see the error of that whole thought system. The only thing that you feel for people you sacrifice for is resentment. What you feel for people that you give to is a sense of fulfillment and love. So sacrifice or giving are both attitudes. Everybody got that? The only thing that makes it a sacrifice is you don't want to do it. And you feel like you're losing from doing it. What makes it a gift is I'm glad to give it. That's it. So whenever people saying I'm sacrificing and you have to sacrifice, they're telling themselves I have to lose in order to gain. And so, and since we are creators and we create our reality based on what we think and believe, then we create loss. Right? And so it looks like we lose, but we've been teaching ourselves that it's through loss that we benefit. And then we wonder why it looks like we lose what we love sometimes. We don't realize that you think love is sacrifice. So you got it set up that if I love you, I got to lose you. If I love you, I have to sacrifice for you. So the Course says that the most important idea to get rid of is the idea that sacrifice is love. That is the most erroneous idea of all, that sacrificing for somebody is love. Giving up what you want is not love. And that's difficult for the average person who is confused, afraid, and suspicious and separate to accept, because that's how they got confused, afraid, suspicious, and separate. Because they already believe in love and sacrifice. So don't tell them how they're doing all this for nothing. So just because of the sheer time that's been involved in the sacrifice, most people don't want to hear this stuff. You mean I've been sacrificing for 30 years and you're telling me that sacrifice doesn't really gain me? Well, you don't seem like a happy camper to me. I don't see why it's exactly brought you the peace of God. So doing it longer does not make it right. Thank you for sharing. But like I've often said to people that are sent to my class, mostly cute people come to my class. And so we'll just be quiet. We have it made, but we just won't do it because you're cute. So you can just be quiet. You have everything you wanted. Because you're cute. That's right. Aren't you cute? So just don't talk. And everything will be all right. Because people don't want you interrupting their fantasy anyway. And when you start talking, their fantasy gets blown. Right? Have you just had the best fantasy about somebody and then they started talking and then you realize, oh my God, I got the best fantasy. This one got to go. Okay, it's not going to happen with this one. They just had to say it anyway. You could have been there, you know. I love it. I mean, the Course says stuff like that. It's all anger is nothing but the result of somebody not acting out your script. That's all anger is. I thought that was too simple. I'll say it again. If you're mad, it's just because something or someone, including you, are not acting the way you want them to act. The situation isn't going the way you want it to go. Your script isn't being acted out. So you're depressed. And you're angry. That's all anger is. So you don't realize that the problem isn't the situation. It's the problem is your script. Nobody betrayed you. You just had a script about they should be faithful. Mm-hmm. And then you had a script that they should have meant it when they said they were going to be faithful. That's still a script. So it wasn't them cheating on you, quote unquote, which is also always an interesting concept in oneness, is the idea of cheating on. That's always, I always want to ask people, who is there to cheat on? If we are one, who are they cheating on you with? Well, then the smoke come out their ears and they blow up. So I try not to go there too often, you know. I don't want no riots in my classes, you know what I'm saying? But it's always funny to me that the same person that can say they're one with everything is the same person that can feel like loving more than one person is wrong. I said loving more than one person. Okay? Which the Course would say, to get the fear out of that statement, the Course would say appreciating more than one person. That's what I mean by loving. I don't mean sex when I say loving more than one person. I'm talking about appreciation, knowing our union, knowing our connection. Sex is pretty much what we do with a person when we're afraid of them. That's our gift. I'm terrified of you. I'm going to give you something tonight. And be simple. Look, you're a specialist to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you have the body I can't even look at in the mirror. It's funny when you really hear it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know. Yeah, because the body in sex is the symbol of love to the fearful mind. That's why people freak out about that more than anything. I'm helping people, and the main thing they're most afraid of is their partner being with somebody else, somebody in a relationship with, being with somebody else. That's their biggest fear. You know what I'm saying? That's where they draw the line. You know what I'm saying? You have total freedom, except it's one little area here, because I am supposed to satisfy your every need for the rest of your life on every level, to the point you have nobody else that you're close to of the opposite sex, even as a friend. I am supposed to be your entire experience of the whole feminine energy of the universe. And I'm bitching and moaning all the time. You told me it's a rush to me. A person who would make that kind of a request of you, in my perception, should be the most loving person you could ever imagine in your entire life. I mean, if you're ready for that kind of commitment, you've got to be like off the friggin' hook. But the same person that usually makes that kind of request is usually the same person that's judging you or upset with you or trying to change you or trying to make you into somebody else or saying what the way you are. The exact same person is expecting that kind of fidelity, attention, and faithfulness. And you, that's what I say. This is the world with the insane. And some people feel kind of uneasy right now because they know they just like that. Because we know we go nuts about the body and we go nuts about special relationships. So the course is saying, okay, then this is what you do. It's really easy. Use trust, use honesty, use gentleness, use tolerance. Don't attack. Recognize that that's a call for love. Form relationships with people who want the same thing you want, so therefore if that's the kind of agreement you want, you will have somebody with you who wants to make that same kind of agreement, and therefore it will not be an issue because both of you want it, and if both of you want it, it isn't an issue, and you don't have to watch them all the time because they want it just like you. But here's the problem, people. The problem is when you don't love yourself, you're not attracted to nobody that's like you or will give you any joy. I think it's just not. So usually the person who wants the monogamous relationship is attracted to the person who wants that relationship with everybody on earth. And you spend all their time trying to change them. Or the person who says they want the more open kind of experience with many people gets with the person and tries to get them to grow. We get you to open up and become more. See, wouldn't it just be easier to be with the person that just wants what you want too? But the problem with that kind of person is that they're so peaceful, they'd be so easy to get along with, that you don't feel no juice. Because the juice is coming from the fear. And since you don't afraid of them, there's no juice. You need the person that you've got to change. That's the one that gets the juices going. You need the person that's going to make you sacrifice. I know you're not right. I'm going to stick with you anyway. See, when you don't know the truth, when you're afraid, you don't choose something that would be easy and loving. But here's the good news. Here's the good news.
Okay.
As you change your mind and you begin to love yourself more, for real, the juice comes back for the person that you flow with and you have union with and you have communication with and you have peace with. And you say, actually, they start to just turn your whole being on, not just your body. But there's an in-between stage where you wean yourself from being attracted to the worst things on earth for yourself to being attracted to that which is easy for you and loving for you. And that in-between state, you just go through a lot of different feelings of disorientation where sometimes you don't feel nothing and sometimes you feel very intense. So you have to make it okay for you not to have any bad sometime and then feel so because you're in transition. So there'll be a time where you're not particularly turned on by the really peaceful energy and you no longer really want the drama the way you used to either. And you just went in the void. You're kind of like, then you just go to the movie. You know, you go to salsa dancing or something, you know. That's what you do. That's what you do. You don't compromise. You don't. You feel that temptation of the old come up again, and you don't give in to it. And at the same time, maybe you're not completely turned on by the new yet, but it doesn't take you as long to go into the new as it did for you to get the old happening. It's not. We're not talking about a long time here. This is not a matter of time. It's a matter of motivation and welcome. That's what you're going to say. Nothing that the Course is talking about is something that takes a lot of time. It's just a matter of, will I welcome it tonight? Am I motivated to let this in? I could have it today. You could have this today. Tonight. Right now. You don't forget this whole thing about in a few more years you'll be enlightened and you'll finally have joy. No. You could have a peaceful life. You could have one starting right now. And that's the thought you want to give yourself. The present is my point of power. The present is my point of power. Right now is my power point. If you were to say that for a week, it would freak you out. Right now. If I'm going to have a relationship that's peaceful, I certainly can't have it in the future. I got to have it now. Right? Right? So that would mean everything that you want, logically speaking, everything that you want would have to exist right now. Why don't I see it? I don't see it because I have attack thoughts, I have fear thoughts, I don't know that I'm loved, I have some anger, some suspicion, and sometimes I just want to kick butt and I don't like me the way I should. That's why. Oh, thank you. And I'm telling you, this is the good part. I'm telling you that that part of you could no longer be ruling you if you're here listening to this tonight. Because if you're here tonight, you have already gone beyond that part of yourself, because that part of yourself never would let you come in the presence of a person that says you deserve to be loved no matter what. So you already know the part that loves you is stronger than the part of you that doesn't, because you're here. So what you're actually seeing as your old habits that you want to let go of, the stuff in you that you don't like anymore, that's just the part of you that's an after image that is fading away. And what you want to do is not be fooled by your old self as it's leaving. Thank you.
Look at somebody in the eye and give it to them.
I am done for my own safety. I am done. Let me do the love offering. I thank you so much for sharing with me and sharing with Unity Temple. Want to invite you, if you haven't, to check out EarlPurdy.com, my website. There's lots and lots and lots of classes. Want to invite you to check it out. And also there's also a sign up there. I'm working on a lot of stuff with my site right now that's going to make it a lot easier to do a lot of stuff. So my requesting that and you're giving it to me, it's actually going to be used to create more communication between me and everybody. I am really tired of a fearful world. I've really had it with not being able to feel connected and to trust and to be open. I'm tired of the lack and the scarcity. We're about to make a big consciousness shift as a planet. We're already in it. That's why it seems like everything is going bananas at the same time. It's because we are so close to breakthrough that our old self, the ego mind, is making this last ditch effort to make us turn our back on love and the truth. So don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. If right now it's like you're going through the most challenging time in some area that you've ever had in your life, it would only be happening for one reason. You're so close to breakthrough that your old self is trying to completely distract you. So I'm available for one-on-one sessions, and this explains them. So if you like, think you'd like to have a personal coaching get down, let's see how we can get through this to the other side, because there are no original problems. let's get together and talk about it, because I'll use the truth and I'm not as caught up in it as you are. So I might be a little bit more objective about what you think you're going through right now. And all you're really going through is your ego's defending against the fact that you're making greater progress than you've ever made in your life. You're doing great. You're doing great. You're doing great. And every time you're happy and let yourself have some joy and go play and give yourself something that you love, really appreciate somebody in your life, then that is forgiveness. That is forgiveness. You take yourself out to dinner and you feel good about that, that is forgiveness. When you let yourself drive the car you want to drive, be in the house you want to be in, wear what you want to wear. But whenever you're letting yourself experience joy at any level, that is forgiveness. Forgiveness is joy. They're the same thing. So we owe it to each other to let each other have a wonderful, loving life. You owe it to me. I want for you to go out there and enjoy yourself and have a wonderful life on every level. Doggone it, will you please do that for me? Will you be free for me? Will you be yourself for me? Will you help a brother out? Will you help a brother out?
Yeah.
Okay, let me pass this thing. We got to really help a brother out. So Sunday at 1 o'clock is the next class. But I tell you, it's going to be a long, hot summer. Because we're going to go deep, and we're going to go to the next level. We're going to let ourselves have things done for us. You know, that's what the course is about. Finally letting Spirit do something for you. Are you willing? Are you willing to let something be healing be done for you?
Uh-huh.
Anybody open to that?
Uh-huh.
Anybody open to that?
Yes, sir.
Thank God doesn't respond according to our enthusiasm. We'd be up the creek. Take 1 minute before we go out. Now, God, I need you to just close your eyes just for a second and focus in on my voice. Heart is impossible when you want to demonstrate love. If you want to be saved in this world, set the goal to be harmless and helpful. Harmless and helpful. Tell the universe you're willing to be harmless and helpful. Realize that you don't know enough about the people around you. You don't know enough about their past, their present, and their future to judge them. So whenever you judge, that you know you're performing a dishonest false, and that creates dishonest acts. Remember, being insane is not the same as being sinful. And what the Course means by insanity is when you are acting utterly from the laws of union, love, freedom, and truth. So when you feel fearful, angry, and suspicious, you want to try to take yourself to a place of peace as soon as you can, because when you are in peace, you can hear your voice of guidance more when you have peace. So this is what you do. Don't get upset with yourself about still doing some of the old things that you used to do before you wanted to change your mind. Readiness is not mastery. Readiness is not mastery. Readiness is not mastery. Just because you say you're ready don't mean that you've mastered it. Just because you say you're ready doesn't mean that you've mastered it. So be gentle with yourself, because in your gentleness, that's where your strength is located, in your gentleness. So number one, be gentle with yourself. Stop being so friggin' hard on yourself. Be glad that you even wanted to wake up and change your mind and be more loving. That puts you way ahead of the game. You are entitled to miracles. You are entitled to states of love and abundance. And whatever kind of relationship you want, just seek it with someone who shares that same purpose. And don't compromise with that. Because compromising in terms of what you really want, that's what brings all the many different kinds of people in your life that conflict with you. It comes from compromise. And so I want you to take a stand tonight and tell yourself that you want the peace of God. 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 You want the peace of love. You want a peace that cannot be shaken. You want relationships that you are not attacked in. You want relationships in which you are not limited in. You want relationships in which you can express yourself in. Ask for relationships that represent a safe shelter for you to grow in. I ask for relationships, and not just lover relationships. I ask for all relationships to be a perfect shelter to grow in. I am ready to learn. You are ready to learn. I am ready to learn. You are ready to learn. I am ready to learn. You are ready to learn. When you say you're ready to learn, the Course in Miracles teaches that a relationship will be offered to you. A friendship will be offered to you. When you say, I'm ready to learn. I'm ready to learn. I'm ready to learn how to be a demonstrator of love. I'm ready to learn how to see my innocence. I'm ready to learn how to have abundance in every area of my life. Say that you are ready to learn, and you will have relationships sent to you where the people involved people into your life who need you and appreciate you the way that you are. The way that you are. The way that you are. Higher self is saying, say you are incredible and you welcome to my heart. That's what I want. Yeah, appreciate y'all. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Thanks for helping me remember. Hope I help you remember. Yeah. Hugs are available. I love her.
And may the chorus be with you.
Wow.